want to be successful, don't we? In the opening verses of Surah Al-Mu'minun, Allah Rabbul Izzah outlines very clearly what is success and how are we to attain it. The first quality is that one should perform salah with khushu', inner concentration, outwardly submitting the body before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second quality of the successful ones, as outlined in verse number 3 of Surah Al-Mu'minun, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنِ اللَّغْوِ مُعْرِضُونَ. Allah says that those who turn away from futility. So it may be words, acts, speech that have no benefit, or it may be, you know, in terms of what we are doing. Lagh, the word lagh translated is vain, and it means things which have no religious bearing. In an extreme case, it also may include a sinful act. The Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, "Min husnil Islam in mar'i tarku ma la ya'ni." It is the part of the beauty of a person's iman that he gives up that which is useless. Ask myself, and you should ask yourself, that the time that we spend on social media on a daily basis, how much of it may fall in the category of lagh, and how much is useful, beneficial knowledge and information? It's a question that we need to ask. It could possibly be that whenever you pick up your phone, there's always something that you're benefiting. And that may be the case. But there also remains the possibility that a lot of what we do on our phones and a lot of the time that we spend on social media, if not falling into sin, it may just fall into the category of lagh, futile activities. And to be a perfect believer, one needs to give up futile activities. If you'd like to progress, if you'd like to move to the next level, if you'd like to gain closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the thing is to regulate, self-regulate yourself. That is what is required. To put for yourself time limits. And once those time limits are exceeded, then to stop at that point. The third quality, the third attribute, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِلزَّكَاةِ فَاعِلُونَ, and those who fulfill the act of paying zakat. So zakat literally means to purify. In religious terminology, it means giving in charity a portion of one's wealth subject to certain prescribed conditions. And the word has been generally used in that context in the Noble Quran. And that particular context can be used for this verse. But there's also another context that it could be made used, because zakat was only made obligatory after Hijrah to Medina, and this verses or the surah may have been revealed before that. And Allama Ibn Kathir and other commentators say that zakat was in fact obligatory in Makkah already. That is an issue separate to it. He's saying that wa'atu aqimu salah wa'atu zakah. However, the arrangements for the collection and the details regarding the nisab, that was only made mandatory in Madinatul Munawwara. So according to this interpretation where zakat is being referred, then the third quality is that the person pays his zakat. He pays his zakat. That would take him to being amongst the successful ones. Another meaning that has been taken by some of the ulama, before getting to that, a unique way, Allah doesn't say tuna zakat or atuna zakat, they give the zakat or they fulfill it, but Allah refers to it as liz zakati fa'ilun, they observe it, which indicates that it is a habit, because zakat is a recurring thing. Before you blink your eyes, 1 year has passed and it's time to pay it again. It becomes difficult when you have capital laying and each year it continues to diminish, and that is why the deen has encouraged that you utilize that money, that you invest it, that you make it grow. And it has the potential, because zakat is only on wealth that does grow. The second part of zakat is the purification of the soul. So here we're being told to purify our soul, and the first thing to purify our souls from is shirk, hypocrisy, vanity, jealousy, hatred, greed, miserliness, that is tazkiyah to nafs. All of this is included in our purification. And the unique thing is that zakat purifies our wealth and also purifies our soul. So what we should do is, you know, we're struggling. I have a problem that I'm a very arrogant person, or I have a problem with my gaze that is always wandering. Now, what I could do is that zakat purifies, that when I'm giving charity, make intention that, Ya Allah, I have this problem of a wandering eye. I can't control my gaze, or I'm very arrogant, or I cannot control my emotions and I have emotional outbursts. I get angry. These are the issues that I'm dealing with. As you're giving your zakat, make intention, Ya Allah, through the zakat, through this charity, through this monetary discharge that I am observing, make it a means of the purification of my soul. You help me through this to get rid of the evil qualities that I possess. And like that, Allah Rabbul Izzah will make it help us in purifying our souls and bringing us close to the state of perfection which is advocated and demanded from us. Moving to the fourth attribute. So the third attribute has A and B to it. One is the zakat itself, and the second is purification of the soul. The fourth attribute is guarding one's private paths from immodesty, from haram. Allah Rabbul Izzah says, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِفُرُوجِهِمْ حَافِظُونَ. Who are the successful ones? They are the ones who say, regard their private organs from adultery, from fornication, from illicit sexual activities. So this is to guard one's private parts. And Allah Rabbul Izzah then explains further in this verse, إِلَّا عَلَىٰ أَزْوَاجِهِمْ أَوْ مَا مَلَكَتْ أَيْمَانُهُمْ فَإِنَّهُمْ غَيْرُ مَلُومِينَ. Except when it comes to their spouses and their slave women whom they own, they will surely not be blamed about cohabiting with them. فَمَنِ ابْتَغَى وَرَىٰ ذَٰلِكَ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْعَادُونَ. And whoever seeks more than this by fulfilling sexual desires in a manner other than what the Sharia has ordained, then فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْعَادُونَ. Then that's such a person is a transgressor, is indeed from the transgressors. So this verse, or the fourth quality, speaks about chastity, about guarding one's private paths. And this is an important part of our own spiritual development. As we outlined earlier, that the first step in this regard is obviously to control one's gaze. It starts with the gaze. Then to not allow yourself to be in a situation where you can be tempted, you know, to ensure that you do not engage in any conversation unnecessarily with the opposite gender. One of the great harms that we have is obviously co-working, where you work in a environment where there are males and females together interacting, and that is where much problems do start. We understand that obviously, ideally, as the Sharia advocates, that the place of the mother is, or the lady is, the housemaker and housekeeper. That is the role that Hazrat Aisha, Hazrat Fatima, and all the blessed women had upheld. There are circumstances where women, because of circumstances, because of need, they go out and they seek their sustenance and for financial reasons and all of that. Now, when that is the case, then the laws of the Sharia should be upheld. And part of that is obviously in terms of observing the hijab, not traveling with non-mahram males in the same car, not chatting and having banter with them in the workplace. That all goes against the grain of the Sharia. The Sharia is such that it closes, the door at the very beginning, that if you can control your eyes, if you can control your heart, if you can limit the interaction, then you won't find yourself in the situation of the final step, which is the actual zina. And so many marriages have broken. Perhaps there may be underlying issues. Perhaps the husband finds himself not fulfilled in the marriage. Perhaps the wife feels that she's not talking to the husband, or he's not talking to her enough, and her emotional need for conversation is not being fulfilled. But that is all subsidiary issues. The main thing is that the Sharia has outlined a certain code for us, and we need to adhere to that and stay by that. And that is our safety, and that is now purity. So often we find that, The West advocate the free intermingling. They advocate the free mixing, the banter and the laughter and the humor. But then when a person in a top position has an affair, then he loses his job. So, you know, it's a dichotomy of what they promote because of the fact that they promote all of this. But when the actual consequences comes about, then the person is left out to hang to dry on his own. And that is why, you know, last year I came across an article in the Wall Street Journal where a CEO of a top company had said that if you're going to meet a lady, don't meet her alone in a restaurant. Don't travel alone with a, you know, writing from his point, it was a male, but obviously either way, from the woman's point of view, do not meet a man alone for business work. Do not travel alone. Do not put yourself in a situation where you would be compromised. And that is what we need to understand in terms of the fourth attribute of the successful ones.